Many years ago when I was in boarding, and some of you guys do this, you don't have to be in boarding to do this, but you know, when you're in grade 5, 6, and 7, you're testing out your strength, right? And so you wrestle with each other to see who's the strongest, right? And so you take on somebody that's bigger and try to wrestle them down and take somebody that's smaller, and it becomes this kind of a wrestling match that we have. It's a friendly wrestling match, obviously, even though the tensions are in there. But I think also of when our son was in grade 7, his homeroom teacher was a wrestling coach, and so he talked Nathan into joining the wrestling team. And I went to some of those matches, and you realize that wrestling is kind of a sport that where you really engage the other person, and you have to know the strategies of offense, how to pin the person, but also strategies of defense, how to get out of it. And it's so personal. It's like these two people getting together, and it's hard. You know, it's something that it's so person to person, body to body, and it's a wrestling match. And I think that's the picture I would like us to kind of look at for a few moments. So when we think of wrestling with God, it may include what I just talked about at the beginning. It may include that we are in this battle with evil, and it may include that. But I'd like us to look today at a different paradigm, at a paradigm that is also based in Scripture. So let us look at what Scripture says in regards to this theme. So Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, as was read before, there are two main characters. There is the judge. He did not fear God, nor did he care about people. Imagine that. So, and then there is the widow who cared for her life and wanting justice. So the judge had great status in the community. He could make decisions that impacted the lives of people on a good day. Or he might rule in your favor even on a bad day, but he might rule against you just because he does not want to get involved, or for whatever reason. The widow, on the other hand, lost her status when her husband died. She probably did not have an inheritance, unless, of course, her family was kind. She did not have financial means to pay for legal help. But there's a wrestling match. The widow against the judge. The one who had no power against the one who had all power. And you might want to say, well, how? You know, this widow was quite astute, quite wise. She did something to catch the notice, to make sure the judge noticed her. And so this is where it gets personal. For this wrestling match, it was the meeting of the minds. Other kind of wrestling I talked about was the meeting of the bodies, but this was the meeting of the minds. It had to do with strength and with strategy, and it had to do with the will. So the widow persisted to wrestle with the judge. The widow had nothing to lose, and by being persistent, and the other really didn't care. So in the end, the widow won because she wore the judge out by her persistence. And here's the bottom line of this. This is Jesus said this. This was an example of always praying and not giving up. So let me ask you, is that the way you pray? Is that the way I pray? Like, this is a tremendous example. So we realize, you know, in this parable, who is the widow and who is the judge that Jesus is talking about? And Jesus ends this parable with saying, listen to what the unjust judge says. So, have you ever thought of prayer as a wrestling match? as a wrestling match with God and the need to be persistent. Whew. That's not easy, is it? Because we might lose heart. And we say, well, God's not answering. You know, but it seems like this parable helps us to understand that there's a wrestling match going on. Be persistent. Keep praying. Keep asking. The only thing is we know that God is not like the judge who doesn't care and who is a great, God is a great respecter of his creation. He's a respecter of us as part of his creation. And so there is a little bit difference in how we look at it, but I think the point here is the wrestling match in prayer. Wow. Think of it. When was the last time you kind of looked at your life and you say, oh, I need to wrestle with God on this? Because God invites us to do that. God invites us to talk to him about these deep concerns. So that's one part of wrestling, right? Then let's look at the main theme today. And I'm not going to be focusing on the Timothy passage today because it's just too much. But let's look at Genesis chapter 32, 22 to 31. We see that Jacob wrestles with God. And you know what? And you, if you would Google this, you would find that there are a lot of artists who have taken a look at this and tried to express this in art. So let's take a look at this. So here's one artist, Annette Gandy-Fort. And when you see this, I don't know if you can see it that clearly, but when you look at this, you see that this person, this artist, talks about this wrestling match as a cosmic wrestling match. The artist includes the world, the elements, the creation, and you get the sense of the angel and the man just fighting together. Do you feel that tension in this art? Sometimes art can say something that words can't. So that's one interpretation of this. Let's take another one. I hope you can see some of the details on this. Yeah, it's not too bad. Eugene Delacroix looks at this a bit differently. And you can see that probably his time when he painted this, that it enters into his art as well. But you feel the intensity of the angel and of Jacob, how they're wrestling there. And you look at the picture and you see, oh, Jacob's by himself, and out to the side, on the side, are all his supports, his family, his flocks, his wives, his children, all of that are in front of him, and he is alone with God in creation, and there's this intense wrestling match. And you get the feeling of this intensity by the way the trees are made and the colors and the texture in this one. Now this is another one by Marie Denis. And this is late 1800s, early 1900s. And you get the sense in this one that it's two almost equal people coming together, right? And they're trying to wrestle each other or get close to each other, and yet they're a little bit arm's distance. It's not all that clear there. The creation isn't quite as intense. The picture in the background isn't quite as tense. And that's another artist's view of how this wrestling match would go. And then there's this one in 2011, and Mike Moyers has this one. And here you get the intensity of this relationship. Two people just engaged with each other, and they can't seem to get either way, and they're stuck in this wrestling mode, right? Wow. Sometimes artists can express emotions much better than words can. Which one do you identify with? Do you identify with something like this, or something like this, or something like this, where it's in that place? Or do you sometimes see your wrestling as cosmos? This is huge. It's not only about me, but it's big, right? I'll just move ahead here. So where does this wrestling match with Jacob really begin? That's a good question. We see him in this passage in Genesis where he's alone wrestling with this angel. But where does the wrestling match begin? So let's take a look. It begins in the womb of Rebekah, his mother. And this is interesting because the mother of the promise, the covenant, in each case, in Sarah's case, in Rebekah's case, and later on in Rachel's case, they all struggled with having children, right? And so the first place of struggle came when Isaac, the father, pleads to God and says, "Let Rebekah have children. We need this. Your promise is there and you haven't been fulfilled yet." And so finally God grants their request and Rebekah has children. And inside the womb of Rebekah, there's something going on. She felt this battle going on inside her womb. And so she inquires of God and says, "What's going on here?" And the Lord spoke back and said, "You know what? There are two nations in your womb. And the younger one will lead the older." So even before Jacob was born, there was a wrestling match going on, right, in his life. Interesting to think of. It continued as children. Esau was one who liked the outdoors, and he got out there. Jacob was one who liked the indoors. And so he was kind of, a different kind of guy, which is okay overall. But it also continues as adults. And it's really a tough thing when you think of the adults, because that's where it becomes serious. You see, Jacob was a good cook. At least you might think that there's a bowl of soup. and so Jacob makes a deal with Esau. He says, and Esau is incredibly hungry. And he comes in and he says, "Jacob, I'm really hungry. I want something to eat." And Jacob says, "Yeah, well, for your birthright, I'll give you a bowl of soup." Right? And so one artist puts it this way, and you can see kind of, offering this soup. And just look at the expression of Jacob in that. He has kind of a joker thing, "I'm getting the best end of this deal," kind of thing. But this artist, I think, claimed it a lot better. Esau's tired, he's hungry, and he says, "Yeah, I'll take the bowl of soup." And he probably wasn't thinking when he made that deal. And so there's where this wrestling match came in again, right? And so as we continue the story, Isaac blesses Jacob. Rebekah makes sure that Jacob receives the blessing. And he dresses up Jacob to make him feel like Esau. And again, artists show that. You see that the blessing is there. You can't see all of Jacob's, what all he put on and so on in terms of fur. But you see that Esau is on the left side, just kind of in the picture. And you realize, there's a wrestling match going on here. Right? It's not just the same. And so after this, Isaac blesses Jacob. Then we have this from Esau. "Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing of his father had given him. And he said to himself, 'The days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob.'" And you think, this is the plot intensifies. And one artist kind of puts it this way. You kind of get that feeling of, this is a tangled blessing. It's not clear. It's not just black and white. There is a lot of tension. And who's responsible to who in this part? And so Jacob was sent away by Isaac to find a wife among Laban's daughters. And to find a wife among Laban's daughters, on the way he met God in a dream. And again, there's different ways of looking at this dream. You know, he talked about the stairway to heaven, or what did this look like? And so here you get one artist's view of this dream that Jacob had. Another artist would look at it this way, and you see the stairways in the back, and you see it going up into heaven, and the angels are there, and Jacob is in this dream. And another artist would talk about the anointing, the making this place Bethel, where he made an altar to God. He said, "For I've met God here." And so, what did God say to Jacob? "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will be with you back to this, bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." And so with that promise, Jacob continued his journey, and he ends up at this watering place where the shepherds would come and water their sheep. And through the process, who does he meet? He meets Rachel. Wow, and then he finds out that Rachel is from his uncle Laban. And he really falls in love with Rachel. And he makes this arrangement to get married. But he is tricked into marrying Leah, Rachel's older sister. Talk about a wrestling match. Like, nothing seems to go clear with Jacob, right? And so what happens is he has to work for Laban another 7 years to marry Rachel. And in the process, he makes Laban pay for the greater price for how he looked after the sheep. And it's because of that he had to flee his father-in-law. And because Laban's children realized that Jacob had taken their inheritance from them, so they're all upset at Jacob, and he starts to flee. And God directed him back to the land he had come from. And on the way, he had to be reconciled to Esau. Whew. The wrestling match continues, right? And so God told Jacob to reconcile with Esau. And you know what Jacob did? Well, he sent 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 female camels and their young, 40 cows and 10 bulls and 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. And he put them in care of his servants, each by herd by itself. And he said, "Go on ahead of me, because when you go on ahead of me, maybe Esau will be kind to me." Because for Jacob, he was still worried about being killed by Esau, right? And so he sends this gifts in front of him, and there's space. And he told his herd shepherds to give space in between so that, you know, he has a chance to absorb all this. For he thought, "I will pacify him with these gifts I'm sending on ahead. Later when I see him, perhaps he will receive me." So Jacob's gifts went on ahead of him, and he himself spent the night in the camp. Wow. And that's when he wrestled with God. He wrestled all night, and neither seemed to win. And at daybreak, Jacob's hip was wrenched, and Jacob asked for a blessing. It's interesting. After wrestling all night, the blessing was, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Powerful story, isn't it? It's not your, Disney kind of story. This is a story that has ethics involved. This is a story that has intrigue involved. This is a story where one parent loved Esau and the other parent loved Jacob. And so there's this kind of struggle. There's nothing was clear on that. And so here he wrestled with God, and God changed his name to Israel. So what can we learn about wrestling with God? That when we wrestle with God, it is for our sake, not God's. Think of that. When we wrestle with God, it's for our sake and not God's. You see, God had followed Jacob throughout his life. Jacob was a crafty kind of person, and he grew up in a family that, if we look at it, we say, that's a dysfunctional family. How can they ever survive? And so when we see God wrestling with Jacob, it is for his sake. Somehow in this wrestling, maybe he confronted his own history. Somehow in this wrestling, he confronted his own struggle with Esau. Somehow in this wrestling, maybe he came to understand that he had swindled the blessing from his brother. We don't know. But it could be all of that is intense. This was an all-night thing. This wasn't something that was just for an hour or half an hour. This was like all night. And in the Middle East there, the nighttime is like 12 hours, usually. Not like here in the winter, it's longer, in the summer it's shorter. It was a long wrestling match. So perhaps Jacob was wrestling with God, and he was confronted with who he was as a person. In the wrestling match, God comes close to us and challenges to change our personalities. So, you know, when we wrestle with God, we often don't come out the same kind of person on the other side. Hopefully, and sometimes it goes two ways. Sometimes we become more bitter, and sometimes we become more loving. Sometimes we become more understanding. Sometimes we realize, you know what? I have hurt people back here. I need to go back and make things right. And so there's this sense that when we wrestle with God, we come and we are vulnerable before God. I can't imagine that Jacob felt so vulnerable, all alone, all by himself, wrestling with God. And I think God did something to his personality, his character at that time. The wrestling match is about who. I'll start with Jacob and then I'll make an application. The wrestling match is about who we are and where we are going. So Jacob was stopped right there, and I think he was challenged as who he was in the presence of God, and he was also gave him a different direction. Now he could go and meet Esau in a different way because he had struggled with God. And the wrestling match for Jacob was about changing his name. The name Jacob had all this stuff had been entwined with him. He's a swindler. He had, you know, take advantage of his brother, of his dad, of his, you know, and so on and so forth. And now he comes to the place where, yeah, he changed his name. He struggled with God and continued on his journey. So this is the difference. When we struggle with God, God is not going to destroy us. God did not destroy Jacob. God changed his name. Now, let me just take one more step here. We see Jesus praying in the garden in Gethsemane in Luke chapter 22, 39 to 46. We see that Jesus is wrestling with his Father. If it be your will, let this cup pass from me. In other words, let pass that I don't have to go through this crucifixion. And he wrestled so intensely that he sweat drops of blood. And so we see Jacob struggle with that. And if you read scriptural, you'll see other places wrestling, people wrestling with God. And in this case, the cosmos, the world, was at stake. And yet Jesus wrestled with God. And he said, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me so I don't have to go through with it. So I wonder what it would happen if we as a church could see the implications of this. Perhaps we could look back at our history, and you know this better than I do, and label the struggles of the last number of years as God is wrestling with us as a church. You think of the beginning of Revelation, and John writes to the church in Antioch, to the church in about seven different churches there. And so in that light, I'm just trying to ask us to look at this question. How would we view this history? We could maybe ask the question, so what is God trying to say to us through all the troubles we've been going through? So this is critical, because in a wrestling match like this, it stops and you realize, oh, maybe God's getting our attention. Maybe there's something we need to look at. And so I wonder if we could look at, you know, with all the struggles that have gone on and all the strengths that have gone on, but particularly in the struggles, can we see this as a wrestling match with God? Perhaps he is understanding, helping us to understand who we are becoming and where he wants to lead us. You see, it's not just about the conflict, it's about wrestling with God in this. And if we looked at it in a different way, I think we would come up with a different answer. And perhaps, just perhaps, God is going to give us a different name. Now, I'm not talking about a name, the title of the church, no. There might be some of that underneath, but a different how we view our name. Are we seen as someone who just keeps going on? Are we seen as someone who has learned to hear God speak even in the wrestling match? And part of that process is to help us understand who we are becoming, and where we need to go. This is a tough journey, isn't it? It's not easy. And it's not easy when there's disagreements, and there's not easy when there's struggles going on, but individually, how is God speaking to us individually and corporately? How is God speaking to us as a church? These are important lessons to learn. We have the example of Jacob, and his life was not easy by any means. And we have the example of Jesus, who struggled and put his life on the line. Even putting his life on the line, he submitted to God's will. So it's an invitation. It's wrestling with God. In a sense, God is not going to destroy us, but he wants us to become his people through this struggle. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to look at your word. And in your word, we have realized how real it is. How real it is that even one of the great fathers of the faith, Jacob, he struggled and he wrestled with you, and you changed his name as one who had met God and struggled with God. And we realize that all of us have struggles, and there are times when things come and we struggle. Teach us how to be persistent in prayer. Teach us how to be open to hearing what you have to say to us in the midst of this wrestling match. In Jesus' name, amen.